Welcome back to News and Views. As I said before the break, human trafficking, it isn't just in Nigeria. It is right here. There was a big hearing and a big meeting that it was held on Friday of last week. One of the participants in that meeting was the executive director of YouthWorks, and none other than my much older sister, Melanie Heitkamp. Melanie, good to have you on News and Views.
Good morning, Joel.
And Anna Frizzell was part of that as well. Anna, well known to many through her job with the Red River Children's Advocacy Center. Anna, good to have you on.
Thank you, Joel.
Melanie, what was your message in the meeting last week?
My message is my focus at YouthWorks is on the adolescents, the juvenile, youth that are trafficked, and the need for the state to address appropriate placement when they're identified and in need of care. And, really trying to gear up for where will these youth be placed, because we're already very, very short of alternatives for adolescents in the state the way it is in terms of shelter.
Are you talking about being taken out of a home? Are you talking about once you find the children? What are we getting at here, Mel? Is this a shortage of foster care? I mean, describe it to people that don't live in the world that you live in every day.
So back to your first issue about whether it's taken out of the home. Some of the youth, obviously, that will be identified as trafficked youth can probably are in their home and will be fine in their home. But there's other youth that will need intensive services or are not even from the area that the state and the system really has to gear up for the unique needs of sheltering youth who have been trafficked. And because of their minor status and their legal status, it complicates it even that much more. It's a tough issue to begin with. But, our group homes and our options for juveniles, especially adolescents, for placement is very, very difficult in the state.
So what do you do with them, Mel?
Well, at this point, we are an emergency shelter, and we are also the federal runaway program. So at this point, we'll get them under an emergency need, but then the system scrambles to say, what are we going to do from here in terms of longer-term need? And for instance, in our shelter here in the Bismarck office, we're full right now. And so we're trying to figure out because, there's a good chance we'll get somebody else in here and we're pretty full.
Anna Frizzell, from the position of the Red River Children's Advocacy Center, you see the same thing?
We do. Mel's given us a good global description of the problem statewide. Last week we had a conference that we held in Fargo, and it was attended by somewhere around 220 professionals. We focused on this discussion, really. Certainly some of the conference was dedicated to building awareness, although the professionals that were at the conference are well aware of a lot of the issues. These are very different. These cases present very differently to many of the disciplines that are involved with them, meaning law enforcement, social services, mental health professionals, medical professionals, chemical dependency professionals, school counselors. It's just a broad array of places where these victims of prostituted victims are showing up in the system. And so we brought these professionals together, brought in great speakers. It was just a wonderful opportunity to get together and hear some really good speakers talk about some solutions that there have been in surrounding states, Minnesota particularly. We had the opportunity to hear from Lauren Ryan, who is a state director of Safe Harbor in Minnesota. She talked about the systemic changes that they've made. Mel and I worry child by child, young adult by young adult, how we help these kids. But we all also recognize that we need to look at the whole system and make sure we're ready. And so we had some speakers that talked about that too. And then the meeting that you mentioned on Friday, again, brought a lot of the nonprofit, non-government organizations together, as well as some government organizations, to have a discussion with at another level. So it was a good week last week, I think, to really try to get this discussion moving forward. But as Mel said, we have emergency situations that will arise, and we need to be able to address them.
So when you is there any rough idea of the amount, the number I mean, if I were a legislator and you, Anna, came in and said, you guys got to fund this. You've got to put some money into human services. We've got to get the type of shelters that Melanie just described. And we can't have these kids out there living on the street. They're going to be preyed upon. I mean, we have to give them a place to go. What type of numbers are we looking at? Not in dollars of structure, but in kids and lives.
Right. Well, let me say really quickly that these victims, kids and adults, we're not just talking about kids here, are very hard to identify. They're hidden in plain sight because we don't really have a good way. A lot of people don't have the common red flags that you might see with another kind of victim. They don't self-identify in the system. They are victims of that are not prepared to come forward easily or quickly on their own. They're moved by the traffickers from place to place. You know, we're talking about exploitation, we're talking about trafficking, and when we talk about trafficking, we're talking about sexual trafficking and labor trafficking. And the traffickers, you know, move these people the prostituted victims very quickly. Myths and perceptions. We as a society have built-in myths and perceptions about what we see these folks as, and oftentimes we see them as criminals. We don't see them as victims, so that blocks our ability to identify. But having said that, Lauren Ryan last week did give us some numbers from Minnesota, and I don't think we have good numbers in North Dakota, and I'd ask Mel, do you agree with that?
I completely agree, and that is the problem, Joel, because what's happening with the numbers is that there's been no mechanism in the state to track this, to know exactly, other than if someone fell under the legislation, the law, that somebody was charged with trafficking. So the internal system that may be working with these folks has not been keeping track of the numbers. And so everyone needs numbers in order to put money to it. But what's going to happen is that as there's more awareness and more knowledge about this, those victims will surface, and we don't have the system in place to deal with it, not as far as shelter.
So let me ask this, in terms of bringing more awareness, the community that you guys live in, you realize it. You get out there, and you're doing this at our request, so thank you. So more people are made aware of it. But until you get the type of facilities you need to help these individuals, how's this going to get fixed, Melanie?
I don't know. I think we're going to have to go out far enough to understand. If you take a look at Sioux Falls, what happened in Sioux Falls, there was a huge arrest in Sioux Falls of where women were being trafficked. So we think it's only in the larger areas, but we know in North Dakota, there's no question. And the experts with prosecution can tell you, they know that the victims are there, the trafficked victims are there. So there's really no question that this is coming our way. It's just a matter of, are we going to have to wait to live in a crisis where they're not handled appropriately in order to get numbers before we can get the kind of services that need to be, the kind of help that needs to be in place.
And I have never been to a West Fargo Packer game where I haven't seen you on the sideline snapping some photos. So you know who Judy Lee is. She's one of the most powerful people in the world in North Dakota when it comes to human services. Have you spoke to her about this?
Yep. Judy is on the North Dakota Children's Advocacy Board. She's very involved in these issues, and she's asking the same questions you're asking, Joel, and we're hopefully providing answers as we get them, as best we can. I can mention that in Minnesota, when Lauren Ryan spoke last week, she said that there's 45 girls under the age of 18 that are prostituted every weekend in Minnesota.
Really?
Yeah, it's an incredible number when you think of that.
See, when you put numbers to it like that, for people like me, that's just goosebumps, like, yo.
She said that there's 14,500 to 17,000 individuals trafficked into the United States each year, into our country. And then they come down the pipelines of the interstates to places like North Dakota, where unfortunately we have a demand. And, you know, the folks at our conference that are looking at this issue are looking at that demand issue, too. That's the awareness building. There's people out there buying people. buying people. I mean, and they're in our state buying people. It's just, it is incredible to anyone that thinks about that. But you're right, when you put that, when you think 45 girls under the age of 18 every weekend in Minnesota.
Mel, is North Dakota's numbers rising because of this Bakken play?
Well, yes. I mean, I think that there's no question. And, you know, you add the other dimension, which is, I mean, we've all certainly been reading through the last year about the problems with Spirit Lake, but when you get closer to a reservation and you're dealing with Native children who are in need of safety, we still haven't addressed we haven't addressed the shelter issues regarding child welfare, child protection needs, not to mention adding the human trafficking issue to it. The issue of sheltering youth is a serious issue in this state in terms of the lack of good emergency resources. There's no question about it.
Oh, okay, and here's where I get you both in trouble, and you're both going to probably say nothing, but why? If we're talking about sheltering at-risk individuals who end up being taken into prostitution, who end up being stole, who end up being sitting there becoming human slaves, and we're a state that has the wealth that we have to be able to resolve these issues, I can understand that if we were at some economic crisis where we couldn't deal with it. Are the people in the highest places in government talking to you individuals? And is Governor Dalrymple talking to you?
The Red River Children's Advocacy has not been involved in conversations with Governor Dalrymple about this issue. But having said that, this issue is really something that we are, it's not new to people out in the profession, granted. The exploitation of youth and young adults in our state and nationwide isn't new.
But who's head of human services now? I mean, Carol Olson had that job forever. I mean, Melanie, is your organization, YouthWorks, are they talking to Human Services about this?
Our shelter in Bismarck received some funding from Human Services to deal with the shelter to shelter youth in this region. That is the only funding I'm aware of that Human Services provides. And in fairness to Human Services, that is a real battle all the way through with the legislature in terms of, because you get into what we've experienced is debates about this is a local issue, the county should provide funding. So it gets complicated in terms of should the state really be the provider of some of those funds? Is it a county issue? You know, those kinds of things. We've gotten mixed into that.
Anna?
Well, I feel like we need to raise the level of the conversation.
I think you just did,
some of that falls on the nonprofit organizations and not necessarily YouthWorks. I don't mean at all that, because YouthWorks is out there fighting the shelter issue, but there's a lot of other issues too, and the investigation issues, the mental health issues. You know, like Melanie's saying, shelter and safety are the very prominent issues, but there are other.
Let me ask you this. Neither one of you are at risk ever with Human Services if you challenge it, if you say we can do more. Melanie, I'm going to ask you straight out. And this is something we haven't talked about in my garage over a beer. I'm just saying it. If you challenge Human Services, say, hey, we have to do more. You challenge legislators to say we have to do more. You don't put your current grants at risk, right?
I don't know whether I do or not. I guess that wouldn't be a reason to not do it. I mean, you know, you've got to do what's right for the youth that our agency's intending to serve. You have to advocate for them.
I agree. Anna, if people want to find out more about your conference, your meeting, everything else, is there a place they can get the PowerPoint and see it?
Yes, it's at rrcac.org, and the PowerPoints are loaded there, and the conference information.
And more about the Red River Children's Advocacy Center?
Also there.
Okay, right there. Melanie, I know that you're constantly raising funds at YouthWorks. Heck, you got me golfing in some event coming up trying to get...
Yes, I do.
You know, and believe me, it's one of the checks that I like writing out. If people want to know more about YouthWorks, where do they go?
youthworksnd.org.
And join the golf tournament. You can have some fun with us there. So, Mel, thanks for coming on. Appreciate it.
Thank you,
Joel.
You bet. Thank you, Anna. Appreciate it. Let's go.